When Father Ricardo asked if I could preach on this weekend, I said that I could because I knew I'd be back from a trip to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Joe and I had planned to travel in our small van-sized RV and do some camping along the way. We had decided to travel south to Barstow, then east on Highway 40. If you know the Southwest, you know it's a long, empty part of the country. And so that trip, not today's lessons, has unexpectedly become the sermon. When the departure time arrived, it was on the hottest day, if not of the year, at least of the season, 104 or 5 in Los Gatos. However, we had good air conditioning and a motel reservation in Barstow, and after a drive of 7+ hours, we arrived in Barstow. A half block from our motel, our van began to make a persistent, regular banging noise coming from underneath, something we'd never heard before. I drove into a market parking lot and looked under the van as best I could. I saw nothing. I drove, Joe looked, the van banged, nothing unusual was visible. It was business closing time, so we crept on to the motel. The next morning, we limped down the main drag. We found only one garage with a lift big enough for our van. It's a Chevy Express Van RV. At another service, someone was quite worried that it was too little for us to travel in. So. The lot in this shop was packed. The waiting room was full. But they listened to our story and inspected the van. We were driven back to the motel. And after the diagnosis, they phoned us with the info and estimated cost. We said, yes, go ahead. We got a call in a couple of hours that the needed parts were being sent from Los Angeles, and it was just barely possible that they would get them that day. The shop's owner said they could finish whichever day they got the parts. I think the whole shop was intrigued by us, two old ladies in a camper. A few posters in their office helped us decide to say nothing political. The van stickers said enough. These Barstow mechanics were friendly, sympathetic, and went all out to help us. It may seem just about good business, but they made a special effort to rush our repair, to find the needed materials, to check with us before spending more money for a part than they'd estimated. And they were working outdoors in extreme heat. The thermometer registered 113. Yet they exemplified human kindness. They loved their neighbors, who, because we were there, were us. They weren't building business. There was little likelihood that we would need their services again or know anybody else to recommend them to. They, in effect, took in the stranger and saved us. Isn't that the point of much of the teaching of our Savior? Good Samaritans can be found in many places. As we heard in the passage from 1 Timothy, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. These mechanics certainly exemplified this. We reached our destination one day late. There visited friends who were once active members of this parish, Jim and Allegra Derryberry. Jim was once senior warden here. At their church on Sunday, St. Bede's, it was touching to pray for Elizabeth, the titular head of the Church of England. There in that high desert parish, we felt the bond of love among friends we hadn't seen for several years and prayed together in thanksgiving for the bond of affection between members of two parishes, two nations, two rituals, one Lord. When after 5 days we headed west, we felt pleased with our visit. We'd eaten very well, greatly enjoyed a wonderful concert by the Santa Fe Symphony, visited a restoration project of an adobe church from the early 17th century, and we're still feeling thankful for the kindness in Barstow. We were ready for a few more days of the splendid wilderness of the American West. After a night in Zion National Park, we visited for the first time Great Basin National Park in eastern Nevada, remote and still fairly isolated and empty of commerce and crowds, and so high that we drove through a hailstorm a few miles from the entrance. The beauty, unspoiled forest, a loud, clear creek beside our campsite tempted us to stay beyond our planned timeline, but we started west the next day. We planned to stay near Tahoe at the summit of Interstate 15 at a beautiful campground we'd enjoyed before. As we drove west, however, the sky darkened and the odor of smoke became dominant. Gray haze filled the air as we came through the Reno bypass. It grew more severe as we climbed. Our expected campground was closed. As we drove, we couldn't tell exactly where the smoke was coming from. All the traffic seemed to be going downhill as people fled the smoke. The day was waning. We weren't sure where we could find any other campground. When we arrived in Auburn, partway down the mountain toward Sacramento, we exited the freeway and began to seek shelter. It was disconcerting as more and more motels flashed no vacancy signs. Finally, we saw a church building. I pulled into the parking lot. It was the First Methodist Church of Auburn. I decided that if anybody were about, I would ask if we could spend the night in their parking lot. After all, Wesley was an Anglican priest. There was a light in the building behind the church, so I knocked. A woman answered. I told my plight, and she invited me in. She was the church pastor. She'd been there, which was unusual at that hour, only because of a meeting. And she said she was very sorry, but the church committee did not allow overnight parking. Joe joined us, and we used the phone and the pastor's advice to call several motels. Only one had a room available. It was $300. I said, let's try. Joe began the long booking process. Then midway, her contact said another agent had just booked the room. The pastor then said, if you don't mind a slightly sloped parking place, you can park in my driveway. We cautiously hesitated, but she said a few others had used it. So we all left, my eyes on her car as she led us back to the freeway and west to another turnoff, then down a lane to her house. Her husband, who was on call as a firefighter, helped us to line up in the correct angle. By then it was late. They offered us food and drink, which we didn't really need at that time, so we said we planned to leave early. We gave our thanks and said our goodbyes. I thought again of that passage from Timothy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share. The next morning, we were up early and headed west. As we drove away from the pastor's house, we saw a sign on their lawn, love your neighbor. Can it be that these were coincidences? Or may I remain filled with hope that the love that Jesus offered us and urged us to give to others is out there all the time. Sometimes we need to be needful in order to receive from strangers the kindness of friendship and the actions that make the world feel better and safer. We have so many negative elements surrounding us that we forget to embrace the love that is all around too. Almost every Sunday here at St. Luke's, the priest closes the service with go in peace to love and serve the Lord. On our recent trip, Joe and I found out that quite a few people out there are paying attention. Amen.